to chat about the Bruins side of things. We're joined now by our good buddy Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports in Boston. How you doing, Joe?
What's up, boys? I thought you were going to keep shades on there, no?
He was wearing them.
Look at the lights. You don't think you need them?
I know. I'm in TV. I get these blinding lights. You do Fenway in the summertime when it's 95 degrees, you feel like a Kenny Rogers roasted chicken when you got those lights on you in the hot weather.
It's outrageous,
isn't it?
It's
no good.
I'm always going to get the first question, but I got to get to the real stuff out of the gate, the heater. You're our Boston guy, our Boston correspondent, our New England correspondent.
Yes.
How many views out of New England for this Robert Kraft video when it goes public? How many people are going to watch it in Boston?
God, I hope zero. I mean, I know that's not the case. I know everybody is going to watch it, and they're going to kind of be,
For 100%
eyes through
it's
the
coming
fingers?
Out?
Yes. I think today is the news that it's coming out. They're definitely going to drop it. And I can tell you, I'm not going to friggin' watch it. I have no desire whatsoever to see that.
I'm going to watch it. I want to see what he's up to. But it's not for the sexual side. It's just the curiosity side of, like, how much do they have on
this
guy?
He's watching it, too. It's one of those things where everyone's saying, I'm not watching it.
But if it's, like, 22 minutes long, you can probably get the gist in 90 seconds.
Well,
like,
I think it's probably about 2 minutes long, if I'm going to guess.
I
don't think it's going to be 22 minutes.
At his age, if it's 22 minutes,
I'm impressed. Yeah,
this dude is a legend.
I'm talking the full scenario. Like, this guy's going to come out. Tarp off? Does he look like a bear? Is there hair everywhere? Like, who knows?
You've put a lot of thought into this. I salute you.
When I saw that on obviously trending on Twitter immediately, and we had some internal emails, I'm like,
I picture him like Burt Reynolds in that movie Striptease, where he has all the oil and he's got the cowboy boots on. That's what I.
There's a guaranteed if. That's not his first time. There's a routine to his scenario.
You know what I want to see? I want to see the video of how miserable he looks when he walks in and how happy he is on the way out. That's what I want to see, the shot, the out shot.
I think it's a quick video, though. I think he had a driver. I think the car was running outside. I think it was just like McDonald's, in and out, and then back in the car.
Not his first rodeo at the Orchids of Asia for
roasted
Bob Kraft.
Turkey on order and then out.
All right, Joe Haggerty's here. Go at him. Go ahead.
We were talking about the DeBrusk hit.
Yes.
Do you actually think that was a clean hit? Like, I could care less. But watching the hit, I saw you bickering and arguing with Toronto media.
Kenny was coming after me, the mild-mannered.
You were going after Paul Hendrick, our guy.
Henny's the most positive person in the world.
He threw the first punch. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, Henny's even coming after me. I thought it was DeBrusk was going in for a hit. Just shoulder-to-shoulder hit, and you see Kadri kind of jump out of the way at the last minute, and I think that's when it went leg-to-leg, when he tried to sidestep it and tried to avoid it. DeBrusk isn't a dirty player. DeBrusk would not be throwing a hit like that. He's not like his old man where he's a fighter. He's not a guy that's an agitator. He's not a guy that throws dirty hits. I think he was just trying to play physical and throw a check, and I think Kadri was trying to get out of the way at the last minute. You see his head, Kadri's head, look up and see him at the last second and try to get out of the way. I didn't think there was bad intent, and I didn't think it was worth a suspension or anything like that. I just didn't. When a guy cross-checks a guy in the face, that's worthy of a
you're
suspension.
Damn right. Yeah.
Well, there's no arguing there.
He's paid the price. What was the reaction from the Bruins that he got the rest of the series as opposed to maybe 10, 15 games? Some people were calling for a lot of games for Kadri.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, fans obviously want a guy drawn and quartered and, you know, sent out for the rest of his career, right? But, like, the players and the organization, I don't think they care. As long as he's not a part of the series for the rest of as long as it goes, I think that they're satisfied with that and that the league, you know, came down and gave a fairly appropriate suspension. And, you know, for Kadri, it's you know, not just that act. It's doing it for the second year in a row in the playoffs. It's doing that actual act for the second time to another player. You know, you heard what the league had to say in the video. He just needs to smarten up because he's a good player otherwise.
We obviously are Toronto-focused, so when you comb through the team daily and like we do, we dissect every shift, every, you know, turnover. There's a few guys that get circled on the Toronto Maple Leafs roster. Jake Gardner, Nikita Zaitsev. You know, up front right now, it's been William Nylander because of his season. Patrick Marleau would be another guy kind of on the hot seat. Who is it in Boston? I know it's Tuukka Rask. Tuukka can make 50 saves and get a shutout, and still I see the fan base will complain about him. Mm-hmm.
And he's got the other guy breathing down his neck now, too,
Yarrow,
to get in there.
Yarrow's had a great season. Yep. So, Tuukka and who?
Tuukka, I would say, I mean, DeBrusque is a guy that needs to step up and provide secondary offense in this series. He scored 5 goals in that first round series last year, was the big next person to step up beyond the big three. But the biggest one in this series right now is the top line. Right now, 1-5-on-5 goal in this entire series, Marchand in game two. Really, I think Marchand in game two was the only one that's had a really good game in the entire series, and that's it. Part of it is I think they kind of felt like they were going to be able to go in and roll and dominate like they did last year.
Joe, they could just get it in and forecheck, and they're going to have their way.
Oh, yeah, and it was going to be a wide-open series, kind of like it was last year. They didn't think Toronto was going to play the kind of tight defense that they're playing, and I think they underestimated what John Tavares and his line were going to be able to do to check them, and also the effect that Jake Muzzin was going to have as a shutdown defense. But when you look back now and you see the additions that the Maple Leafs made this year, there was probably a lot of idea of we need to bring these guys in to beat the Bruins to get past them in the divisional rounds. And they've come in and done the job. And it looks like if they brought them in for that kind of a matchup, that kind of a series, it's working out in their favor right now. Tavares has been fantastic.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. And I mean, the whole line, I think Hyman's been very effective. And Marner's obviously been great as well.
Yep.
Joe Haggerty with us from NBC Sports in Boston.
Do you guys think a year ago you would have seen Mitch Marner on his belly blocking a shot face up, facing the guy at the end of the third period like that? I don't think so.
There's been a lot of maturity. I'm not sure you would have been on the ice. I think last year it would have been maybe Connor Brown on the ice.
That's what it is. He's gained so much trust from the coach that the coach wants him out there in critical times because he knows Mitch is sneaky enough to read plays and pick them off and stuff. And then, to me, I think the blocks are added bonus. That's something that we didn't know he really wanted to do or had in.
I don't know what you guys do in Boston, but we can be negative in Toronto. But we could also turn 2 block shots into 3 different pages, 3 stories, 3 days in a row of being a hero.
A warrior, a defensive warrior, playoff hero.
Oh, yeah.
Hardened playoff player.
They had Gregory
Campbell. And then he came out with a classic line, that's what dentists are for. Everyone was like, oh, my God.
What a tough guy.
He's a killer.
He had that slap shot. He had that in his pocket all day.
Mitch is a killer. That sounds pretty good.
That's right.
He did have that one, and the minute that he knew, I mean, it was a great play and a big deal, but you're going to get asked about it.
Yeah.
It's in your mind. You're like, how am I going to come back with this one? That's bar play.
He had that one ready for him. Totally different teams for the most part, for both teams, more so for the Maple Leafs than Boston, but in 2013 and in 2018, the Bruins were up 3-1 in both series. Now they're down 2-1. How would you compare and contrast the mood of the Bruins today in this series compared to the previous two?
Yeah, I think obviously it's not overconfident like it was in the other ones, but I think it's okay. They feel like they haven't played the best, really. They played really well in Game 2, but they feel like in Games 1 and Games 3 they certainly weren't at their best. That top line was not at its best. Certainly they feel like they can give more. And there's a confidence with them that they can go out and they're going to be determined to do it. And that if they go out and do their job and execute and get second chances and create havoc around the net and make some plays and do what they normally do and certainly get a little more assertive offensively. Marchand only had 1 shot on net in that last game. You got to shoot the puck more and look for your own shot. They've been kind of passive at points too much, too. And the lateral passing is just not working. They need to be a little harder going north or south than they've been in the first 3 games of the series. If they make those adjustments, I think they're confident they're going to score some goals and get their chances. And if they do, historically, we've seen the last couple of years, if that line gets their chances and scores, they're going to win the games. And that's what it comes down to. But if they go out, if it's another tight checking game tonight, if that line really doesn't do much tonight and they're down 3-1, that's, I think, when the panic sets in and they say, wait a minute, the Leafs have the matchups in this series and we're going to have to do something. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't go well early for the Bruins in this game tonight, if you see that line broken up. If they're not really generating a lot early, if they're not going in the first period, I think you're going to see Pastrnak drop down to Krejci's line. You're going to see maybe Danton Heinen or Johansson or somebody on that top line, and then they're going to try to force Babcock into deciding who he's going to put Tavares and Jake Muzzin with and hope the other line starts going off offensively.
Well, he was matching on Saturday night because he had the luxury to do that, but you don't on the road. And he did try at that last game to move Pastrnak a little bit down. There was a double shift or a shift where he slid him down on that fourth line or third line. But, and looking at it, and I know injuries are a big part of the playoffs regardless of what team you're dealing with, but it sounds like you're going to draw back in. Now, Johansson was sick.
He was sick. It must have been the world's worst illness to miss 2 playoff games.
No kidding.
Sick. I mean, we were kind of speculating that was he dinged up from that hit that he took in the first game, and they were just calling it something else, which we all know teams do from time to time, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, Cassidy's made a point of saying he got the color back in his face when he was at practice the other day and that he really is sick. Maybe, but I haven't heard of too many hockey players that are sick and miss two playoff games.
No kidding.
And so you've got Moore, you've got Johansson. Like, you know, to me, Krug didn't look right the other night. Yeah. I thought he had some turnovers where he's a low center of gravity guy. Like, pretty strong on his skates, strong on his stick. But the
concussion protocol, we didn't talk a lot about it.
How the hell is Torrey Krug playing?
But even furthermore, how did Tuukka Rask stay in the game?
Well, here's
like
the thing.
Like, he got crushed, and he was out. He wasn't completely unconscious, but could tell.
He was lying down in the ice.
He looked bad.
Yeah. But I thought it was more neck-related.
That's what he said.
But how do you know that, though?
But that's the thing. Like, we don't know. Here's the thing that I saw people making a big deal about it. Not everything, and I know not everything at the head is a concussion. Like, you get a shot,
puck off. Spotters don't know that. When they think it is, they just call it down and the player's out.
I agree.
Right.
But every player is different. I watched that. You're allowed to lay down and get your bearings, to me, if you ask me. There were times where I got run into, and you're just trying to, like, see. You're assessing. Okay, how am I? How is my equilibrium? All of that. I thought the time helped him, but I saw people going nuts on Twitter of concussion protocol and that. If you get your neck jarred, I know it's still attached to your head, and I know it can be. But
it's the inconsistency from the
correct.
League.
But do we really want every single player, every time there's a collision, taken out for 10, 15 minutes or an entire period? I think you run into problems if you do that, too.
Especially that position.
Yeah,
The goaltending position makes it so much more complicated, which I understand.
There may be some thespianic flourishes that go along with the falling to the ground.
Honestly,
and
that's what later in the game, Frederik Andersen took a shot off the mask. I don't know if you remember that. Like, it's fine. Those masks are designed for a ricochet off, and they're made of Kevlar. That's what their job is. But, you know, where does the line cross? Like, that's what it comes back to the goaltending. Now, I saw two doctors on the bench. It looked like the team doctors for the Bruins came right down to the bench and were assessing and talking to the trainer. You're right. I know it's playoffs, and you'd have to ask that question. If this was November on a Tuesday, is Tuukka coming out?
Right.
Given the history, given that. I mean, it's a fair question. It's just, it's one of those gray area things.
Oh, it's very complicated.
Because if you know, Freddie Andersen has a history of getting dinged into. If he gets bumped tonight, I would like to at least give him the benefit of the doubt, not to fight through an injury, because I don't believe in that, but to at least collect his bearings to see if he's okay, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And getting back to what you mentioned before about, you know, Krug and DeBrusque,
both
of them looking kind of dinged and coming back in. I was curious to see what they were going to look like in that game, because I thought it was really quick for both of them. Krug clearly getting crushed by Muzzin, and then DeBrusque looked dazed when we talked to him after that game. I was surprised they were both definitely going to practice, definitely going to play, and Krug didn't look 100% right. But he's a tough kid. He wants to play, and you just wonder if that's going to affect him over the course of the entire series.
Joe Haggerty with us from NBC Sports in Boston. We touched on Tuukka Rask a little bit. Freddie Andersen was a big story here in Toronto leading up to the playoffs because he had a very poor March, but he's played really well. I think Rask has played well. Like, I haven't had any, you know, I'm not focusing on everything that he's doing, but I can't see him being the issue.
The only
goal I had an issue with was Nylander breakaway in game one, where it became a 3-1 game. That's the save that he probably has to make to keep it a 2-1 game. But aside from that, he's been pretty solid.
Timing of that goal was bad for the Bruins because they were pushing. I didn't love the Trevor Moore goal, too. Respond, he had it, and
it was
spun
kind of
popped out.
He lost it.
Outside of that, but you can point to a goal or two, but he's been rock solid. He has not been the story of why they're down in this series. Like, both goaltenders have been really good. I think Freddie Andersen's that Saturday game could have been 9-1. Freddie made three unreal glove saves on the back door.
Yeah, no, he was great.
The storyline in this series is the Leafs, through three games, have done a really good job of holding down Boston's best offensive players. Can they do it for the rest of the series and win it out? Or, are Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak finally going to break out and start scoring some goals? That's where I think this series is going to be won or lost on. That's the battleground.
Great seeing you as always, Joe. Thank you for doing this, boys.
Where have you been hanging out in Toronto?
I've been a good boy. I've just been, you know, going to church, saying prayers.
He's just lying to us right now.
Eating a lot of salads, you know.
Where have you been drinking beers in Toronto? It's somewhere around here. I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
I might have gone to Yorktown. You know, it's good times over there.
There's a couple of spots downtown.
Hemingway's or
keep
something.
You busy. Well, that's up in Yorkville, absolutely.
Yeah, Yorkville.
Yorkville, excuse me.
If you're up in Yorkville, yeah, you're up with the rich people up there.
Yeah, I don't fool around.
There you go. Attaboy, Joe. Good seeing you, man. Thank you for doing this, as always.
See you, boys.
There's Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports in Boston.